I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Yo, Alternative Facts Podcast, we are back. Have you guys heard the new Paris song? I love this band. I've made it known on Twitter and on this podcast before. I got to hear that song a little bit early. I loved it. Couldn't wait for everyone to hear it so I could just kind of geek out with everybody else. And I even did one of those annoying tweets where I tweet like, I've just heard a song and I can't say what it is, but it's so good. I did one of those. Well, finally, What's Wrong came out last week. It's off Paris' sophomore album that's due this August. And yeah, I'm really excited for it. It's shaping up to be a nice step forward from their first album. Probably more coming from me in Paris. Follow me on Twitter, See Pain on a Plane, to keep up with all that. So moving on to other pertinent things. What else is there? Lately, I've just been getting back into the swing of things. I did a Governor's Ball the first weekend of June. Then I did Nashville and then Bonnaroo the next week. So last weekend was my first weekend back in Brooklyn for this month. Basically just spent it recharging, getting myself back into office life, you know. Catching up on new releases, which we'll talk about a lot in this podcast in my next segment. Catching up on work, catching up on some other Billboard projects I have coming up. So last week's episode of Alternative Facts, we had an interview with Alex and Jack from All Time Low. If you're back listening this week, we're glad to have you around for round two. By the way, subscribe, get it every week, listen every week. But rest assured, we're talking about All Time Low again this week. This time we're going to focus on how the album did kind of wrap things up, how it did its first couple weeks out in the world, how it performed, how it sold, what kind of an impact it made. Up next, here's me with Kevin Rutherford from the Billboard Charts Department talking about All Time Low, how that album's doing, and also checking in on some other updates from around the rock charts world. A lot of stuff in the rock all.
Yeah,
world.
I mean, it was a huge album release. I was telling you, or album release day, I was telling you, I think it was yesterday, like, I'm just like, man, I'm still trying to catch up. It's like all these new albums that came out, new singles, you know, I just keep like finding something new that like I totally missed. And whereas like some weeks, you know, I look down the list of like the stuff came out on like a Friday and I'm like, all right, I'm good. And like, I'm done in like within like 15 minutes. So a lot of new alternative albums led by Lorde, but certainly not just Lorde either. So it's a big week.
Yeah. So how is Lorde looking?
Lorde is looking good. It's looking like she's going to get her first number one. Ooh. On the Billboard 200. Oof. Yeah. Right. Right. It's pretty cool. Yeah. We're looking at right now. Let me get the number here. I'm pretty sure it's 80,000 to 90,000 equivalent album units is the current number. Now the last one did do in the more than the 120s, but that was, first of all, you know, multiple years ago, and it also had like a hit single beforehand.
Yeah, and that was over time. That was cumulatively, right? Mm-hmm. That wasn't just all week one. That was gradual build up. Well,
it was actually week one.
Oh, really?
It sold.
Right.
It sold that much week one
because Royals was huge already before mm-hmm. the album dropped. You're right.
Exactly. Yeah. Because she'd had the EP and you know she'd had some time to kind of work up to it. So there was a lot of buzz around Lorde by the time that album, the full length dropped. So it made sense. But yeah, again, this one doesn't really have that huge top 10 single. And that's something that people have written about this album a lot. You know, it's like, oh, yeah, it doesn't have that Royals, at least, you know, right off the bat. So it was never going to probably sell as much as the first one did. And that's not a big deal necessarily. But it still looks like it's going to be number one in a week where there are a lot of big releases. And Pure Heroine never did that. It actually topped out at number three. So I'm sure Lorde will take a number one album. Absolutely.
And for those listening, some context as to what it means for her to sell about 90 equivalent album units her first week. That's roughly what Halsey did with her with a Hopeless Fountain Kingdom for like a similar alternative pop artist.
Yes.
Halsey sold a little bit more, but same ballpark as Lorde.
Exactly. Same ballpark. Same about... And I'd say about the same strength of, like, lead single. I mean,
sure.
Now or Never by Halsey is still rising right now. But, you know, in terms of where Greenlight peaked and where Now or Never has peaked so far, I'd say they're about kind of the same ballpark. So not shocking to have at least I don't think it's shocking for them to be about in the same area. And cool thing is it also, if Lorde does end up going number one, it'll give us our first... It'll give us three straight weeks of women at number one on the Billboard 200, which has not happened in a while, and it hadn't been happening there for a while, even that a woman at all could get number one. So, well, I think once the story started coming out, like, you know, there hasn't been a number one by a woman on the Billboard 200 for a very long time, all of a sudden we got three in a row. And I'm not saying that we're not just going to, it's not, we're not going to fall back into this problem again here, like, next week. But at the very least, you know, three in a row because Katy Perry last week and hopefully Lorde next week. We'll see.
So do you think this Lorde album has legs sales-wise, going to keep being big? You think there's maybe a dark horse single that can start getting big, give it more life?
There is a dark horse single, and it is the current single.
Ooh.
Perfect Places is going to be that song. I mean, like, I'll be so shocked if it isn't. And, like, look, it came out about... What was it 3 weeks ago at this point, I think, or something like that. It's still fairly new. It was sent as the next single to Alternative and AAA, which are still Lorde's home bases at this point. It was sent to that pretty much immediately. Greenlight fell off. It had actually made, it had stayed on the chart the entire time up to that point. Actually, I think it's still an Alternative this week, but it's about to fall off. The point is, it went on there. I think it debuted at number 30 this week on Alternative, and I'm sure AAA will follow soon. And it's already off to a really good start there, which is pretty cool. And when I first heard that song, and maybe you'll agree, maybe you'll disagree, but it felt to me more like, not necessarily a rehash of the first album, but it felt way more in line with the first album than Greenlight did. It felt kind of like a team to me in a way, and I'm like, all right, I could see this actually really hitting. It's not going to be immediate, certainly, and it hasn't been. But, you know, I could it do better than Greenlight? I think that, you know, once its life is over as a single, I feel like we could be seeing this one higher than Greenlight ended up going. It's a little more of a slow builder, but that's the single to watch for right now. Last song on the album, but... possibly the best one. I don't know. I mean, there's a lot of good stuff on that record. I don't know. So it's tough to say, but certainly the most radio accessible. So
cool. So look out for Perfect Places. Want to move on to some talk about the artist who was our featured interview on last week's episode of Alternative Facts, All Time Low. So Last Young Renegade album dropped a couple weeks ago. How did that one do on the charts?
So it became another number one on the alternative albums chart for them, which is I think the third or fourth, I forget the exact number, but they've had number ones before. This is nothing new. Number nine on the Billboard 200. And, you know, it did well. It sold about 33,000 equivalent album units, about 30,000 that was pure album sales. But it's tempting when you look at that album to say, oh, well, maybe this was a bit of a flop because of how the last record did in 2015.
Future Hearts.
Future Hearts, yes. That album was number two in the country, number one in pure sales. It was only not number one because of Furious 7 and how
See You Again See and you the, again. The that in the moment and everything. So
yes, and See You Again, with the way the Billboard 200 works, you know, we add in streams as well as individual track sales at a certain formula. And basically, a lot of the points that album was able to get from See You Again, which I believe was the number one song in the country at that point, if not, it was certainly on its way, that actually ended up pushing it past All Time Low to number one. Otherwise, All Time Low would have had a number one album with somewhere in the ballpark of about somewhere in the 70,000, maybe 75,000 in pure sales.
I have written here 75,000 copies and 80,000 units.
Yes, yeah, which is obviously way more than this album did. But at the same time, you know, it's been tough to figure out exactly why, because my colleague Keith Caulfield, who handles the Billboard 200 and a lot of our albums charts, I talked to him about it this week, and I'm like, do you remember, you know, 2 years ago at this point, what happened? And he did call it a bit of an anomaly, because if you look at the album sales for this record before that, or for All Time Low before 2015, they're a little more in line with what Last Young Renegade did. And if you're an All Time Low fan out there, you might be raising your hand and being like, oh, hey, remember that Polaroid thing they did, which was like
five different Polaroids, and only one of them was in each album. So if you really wanted to get all five, there was a good chance you were buying multiples of the same album.
Was it five, or was it five and there were 20 total?
Either way, the ratio is the same. Either way, if you want all of them, you need to buy one and then four others.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. So that would certainly help. Kind of in the same way that, you know, if I put out a record today and I said, you know, each one has like a different poster, or maybe there's like a different like cover on it, and you have to collect all of them, you know, that's going to drive some extra sales. Or, you know, this is something that people do. You know, lately what we've been talking more about is ticket bundles for like concerts. Like, okay, if you buy a ticket to the concert, you'll get an album or something like that. You know, usually we've been talking about that more recently, but this was a little different than that. But it's still like the same idea, and the point is to bump up your album sales just a little bit. And it seems like that's what they did, and they succeeded. So again, the fact that they didn't necessarily do that this time isn't necessarily a bad thing. So I think the sales that they came up with for this record, especially given that, as we all know, All Time Low are not really a radio band. They're not the kind of band that really gets played there a whole lot. Certainly not enough for it to be like have a meaningful impact on radio in the sense of like, oh yeah, their number so such and such on the charts. They might get played. You might have heard Dirty Laundry on your alternative station, but chances are you didn't hear it nearly as much as, you know, Lord, let's say. So for them to do what they did, in with a new label for that matter,
yeah,
it's not bad. I don't think.
Yeah, I mean, I think the album is straight up better than Future Hearts.
Yeah.
And you would think that coming out on Fueled by Ramen, being in conjunction with Atlantic, there'd be a little bit more of label pull there than when they were on Hopeless. So I was expecting this one to sell a little bit better.
Yeah, you would think that there would be more, and I don't know what happened behind the scenes. I really can't say for sure. But again, for me, I think it oftentimes does come down to, you know, okay, yeah, you know, you can have a very vibrant and, you know, supportive fan base. But I think, you know, it depends on like how big is that fan base actually? Because again, look at the album before Future Hearts and how it was selling. It sold in somewhere like the 40,000 range. So, and that was also without really a huge radio single. This one didn't have one either. It sold about however much, and Future Hearts did well because of, or seemed like partially and because of that bundle, but again, it didn't have this radio single. And I think what All Time Low would have needed in order to have sold even better would have had to have been to have a song that captured the attention of someone other than the main fan base.
Yeah,
I think it seems like that's what didn't happen, but again, that's something that they've never really had, so I'm sure they don't really care too much. Maybe they do, maybe they don't, I don't know. But you know, it doesn't change the fact that these are still pretty good songs, very catchy songs. I think the first half of that record is just full of hooks.
Yeah.
Man, full of them. So who knows? Maybe something will become a sleeper thing. Like,
yeah,
you know,
who knows?
You know, months later somehow. I'm surprised that Dirty Laundry didn't do better than it did. I think that's like, that's the song, but...
Well, Kevin, thanks so much for coming on. Shout out your Twitter handle, anything else you're working on right now.
I am SurfWax83 on Twitter, and I am working on absolutely nothing right now except these charts here. Just working them charts.
Game in the system for Portugal the Man.
That's never said that. I told you that in secrecy. Come on. That's about it. It's just cool. Gearing up for the summer. More looking forward to seeing all these new singles continue to rise. I mean, I think it's fun to have all these new songs out. It's my favorite time of year when you get all these new songs all at once. We didn't even talk about like Arcade Fire, for instance, and they've got new music out. Just like Joy Wave. It's just so much. It's exciting. So that's what I live for, at least right now. So
awesome. All right, so we're back. We've got another interview coming up next, but first, here's a quick word from our sponsor.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Next up, we got an artist interview. This is actually an interview with a full band, so basically get to listen to me hanging out with Charlie Bliss for the next 15 minutes. Charlie Bliss is a Brooklyn-based poppy rock band. They made one of my favorite albums of this whole year so far. It's definitely in my top five albums of 2017 right now. Guppy is the name of the album. It actually has a goldfish on the cover, but that's okay. It came out back in April on Barslick Records. And in case you haven't heard their music yet, so you get to get a little sample before you listen to our talk, here's a nice segment of my favorite song of theirs. It's called Westermark. Tight hooks all around, really good guitar solo in that song, all about these guys. So I did this interview a little while back after seeing their record release show at Baby's All Right in Brooklyn. We looked back on that show, what they have ahead, just sort of chatted about all kinds of stuff. So they made my day really fun. Here is my interview with Charlie Bliss. Charlie Bliss, welcome to the Billboard studio.
Hello.
Thank you for having us.
There's lots of voices going on for those listening at home. So for these bands, full band interviews, I like to start off by going around, introduce yourself, tell us what you play in the band.
Sick.
I'm Eva. I sing and play guitar in Charlie Bliss.
I'm Sam and I play drums.
I'm Spencer. I play guitar.
I'm Dan. I play bass. I almost said I'm Spencer too.
You are?
I'm Dan.
So you guys recently released debut album, Guppy.
Yeah.
Did the record release show, hometown show in Brooklyn at Baby's All Right last week. Probably a lot of friends there, maybe friends and family.
Totally.
Exciting show. Take me through that. What was that all like?
Oh, it was amazing. We had also just been on tour for a month, and it was like our first day back. So I think it was just really overwhelming in a nice way to like see everybody and be home and like... And it was just so cool. I mean, we played Baby's All Right, like, years ago, I think, to, like, two or three, yeah. Like, maybe five people. Generous. And have kind of like been playing there, like, and slowly like having it build up, but like, but to sell out Babies All Right and have that many people there and have people know the words to our record now that it's out, like, it was
a great homecoming.
It was amazing.
You guys all live in Brooklyn?
Yeah.
Cool. So that was your first day back from tour. So probably a lot was going on. You guys have to probably get laundry taken care of, sort lots of things out, and then also go play a big show. So what were those 24 hours like?
We got home at like 1 or 2 in the morning.
The
night before. We had played in Philly, and we just were like, we got to get home. And I don't know about you guys. I was just really happy to see my boyfriend. I ate my favorite hummus. I think I watched like 4 episodes of Angel. I just was so happy to be home.
I feel like you have to wait like at least 3 days to do anything productive after getting home.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Cool. And so some highlights from this show. You guys played new music. You just put out an album, did the record release show for the album, and then played new songs that have been done since the album. So are these coming? What can you tell us about this new music?
Yes. Well, our record is so funny because, you know, it took us a really, really long time to put it out. Spent a really long time writing it. So some of the songs are super old and some of them are newer, but like, we're so excited to be writing new music. I mean, we recorded the record a little over a year ago. So we feel really excited about writing more. And we're hoping to record our second record as soon as possible. So we're in full writing mode.
And it was, what, 2 new songs you guys played?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Cool. Yeah. How do you guys, I mean, because these days you must be used to just whatever you do at a show, it could be put on YouTube. How do you feel about just playing? I mean, I haven't checked, so I don't know if the songs are there. I'm just thinking now, but how do you feel about playing new music? And it's like the first way a lot of people hear it is just like, oh, Charlie Bliss new song on YouTube already. Cool.
Yeah, I feel it's already happened to us in the past, even like with the song Black Hole. I guess less so with like the song structure, but the name kept changing of the song.
Yeah.
And so people kept commenting, oh, wait, that song's not going to be in the record.
Yeah,
oh,
where's Bad Box?
Where's Bad Box?
Why is Bad Box not on the record?
Where's it? And then, I don't know, you kind of just have to, like, I feel like playing new songs live is like the best way to test them and see, you know, how people react and, okay, what is working, what's not working. And so if people hear it and it totally changes the next time they hear it, I guess you kind of just have to roll with it. But
yeah. And I think it's really cool. Like, I've definitely seen some of my favorite bands, they'll play a brand new song, and then the next time I see it, next time I see them play, it'll be like completely different. And I think it's really cool to like watch a song change.
Yeah.
Totally.
And I'm happy there's like record of it. Like, especially like if those songs change, it's kind of funny to be like, because we really watch them back. Like Sam said, like we learned so much from playing them live, but then also from watching those videos back and be like, oh, that doesn't quite sound right, or that, like, whatever.
Yeah.
So it's kind of fun for us to look back and be like, oh,
remember
like,
that part? Yeah, what were we thinking?
We have a lot of songs that way where now we look back at the videos on YouTube and we're like,
it is funny though. I feel like people can get attached though.
Yeah,
to, like,
totally.
Very true.
They'll hear the new version and they'll be like, wait, what happened to like the bridge? Like, that was my favorite part. And they're like, sorry.
Sounds like you guys have a pretty chill attitude towards all this. It makes me think, when LCD Sound System got back together and played the reunion shows in New York at Brooklyn Steel, when they were about to play a couple new songs, they put out a sign outside the venue for people coming in,
right,
requesting people, please don't record these songs on any device and put them on YouTube.
Totally.
Yeah. I think the way we feel about it, I don't know that it's chill, because I think it's more so like, you know, especially with the internet, like, you're going to get judged kind of harshly for anything that you do, and people now have a forum to say anything that they want to say about anything that you ever put out. And I think the way that we feel about it is like, you know, I'm personally fine with anybody saying anything about us on the internet as long as I feel good about whatever we've put out into the world.
Right.
So it's like, if someone says like a song sucks, then I can sit there being like, well, we were happy and like, you know, whatever. So it goes. But if we put out something that I don't feel is right, I don't feel like we worked hard enough on, like, it didn't quite come together, and then people say mean things on the internet, I'm like, I'm like a wreck. So true. I think that's so important. It's just like you have to have like some kind of distance from all of that stuff, but also like use it as a tool in a way.
Totally.
Totally. Very well adjusted.
Oh my God. Thank you. First time.
So Dan, you're the most recent member to join the band, right?
Mm-hmm.
So what's it, or tell us when, how long have you been in the band?
Like 2.5 years. Mm-hmm.
So not super recent at this
point.
No,
yeah. And I've been watching them come up.
When did you first see them before you joined?
Probably one of their first shows. I mean, I saw before they were
Jimmy's
called.
Jimmy Seaside?
No, he was at Arlene's Grocery.
I also saw previous incarnations of the band in Fairfield, Connecticut.
Oh, at Neutral Ground.
You were, oh God, don't talk about it.
Well, I'm not gonna. We're not
what
gonna.
Were the,
go
what were the old names of the band?
No. No comment.
Don't want to say.
we had a brief stint like.
We were like a Starbucks band for a minute.
Yeah, totally. We were. If you look even
banjos.
I played banjo
on like three songs.
Yeah.
You could. That's the thing. Yeah.
That's the thing.
We'll make it a little bit of a challenge.
Yeah,
you
exactly.
Could, it's there. It's
if
there.
You want it, you'll get it.
You'll get it.
you'll get it.
So this sounds like a rather seamless transition into being a member of Charlie Bliss.
Oh yeah.
That's awesome.
Well, yeah, and we're all childhood friends, so it's like it really didn't even feel like much had really changed in that way. There was never like an awkward period of like. Well.
Except it got much better, obviously.
Yeah. Well, that goes without saying. He murders the low end.
Do you think there's any challenges that come from being in a band with people who you're all really tight with from way back?
Challenges. I think it's pretty much all positives. I think
it's
like
a challenge because we have too much fun.
I agree.
I think it's good because, you know, if someone's annoying you, which is inevitable, you can kind of just be like, just stay away from me for 5 minutes, but, you know, I love you.
I think, exactly. I think we all kind of have, like, more of a familial relationship than we do, like, friend relationships. And I think, like, because of that, like Sam was saying, it's like, when we're annoying each other, I feel like it's more like a sibling thing of, like, I know you're really annoying me, but I also know that, like, if anyone said anything mean about you, I would kill them. And, like, I am on your team 100%. But, like, so I think, like, and I think a lot about that, about how, like, if we were touring, like, with anybody, I feel like we would be so miserable. I think we'd just mostly have a ton of fun.
Yeah, what would happen if, like, for album number 2, you guys get really proggy and add, like, a touring keyboardist?
Who just messes up the chemistry completely.
It would probably bring us closer together.
We would all hate the keyboardist.
Yeah, totally. Universal hatred. And then we'd never annoy each other. All of our...
They could ride in a separate car.
Yeah.
Yeah, totally.
They can get a trailer, yeah.
I guess one potential negative is, like, I feel like other bands are, like, scared to approach us sometimes. Because we're so insular with like we have so many inside jokes, and I feel really self-conscious when there's other people around because we have to like tone it down.
When we first start a tour with a band, I feel like we come in so hot. We are
so hot.
We bring out like the goofiest in each other, and like, and I feel like, and like, yeah, like we said, like just so many terrible, stupid inside jokes that, like, I don't know. I feel like, yeah, sometimes I feel like that's a negative.
Oh,
like,
you guys intimidated me right off.
Oh,
No, it's not
intimidation. It's more like, what is wrong with those people?
Yeah,
yeah,
more
like how do we make sure these people don't hate us?
Yeah, that's really.
So what is it like when you guys are on the road together? What's your vibe like? Those long drives.
A lot of music.
Yeah, a lot of peaks and valleys. There'll be, you know, we'll have like, if it's an early drive, I think it's nice to, we usually start out with like some nice, soft, like fun music. But then, like, as the J progresses, inevitably, things get a little bit more and more off the rails. We have something called the blast radius in the van. And basically, whenever we're about, it ranges from an hour to about 30 minutes outside of the venue. We need to kind of like, you know, breathe some life back into ourselves. So we play music that we really like in a like a pretty like ironic, like tongue in cheek sense, or sometimes like very much, you know, these are songs we really like, but it's, you know,
usually
kind
it's
of,
bad music.
Yeah, it's in the realm of like the Grind soundtrack. Baha Men has been a
Aaron
new
Carter,
addition.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. it's really good to hear your
Hinder.
Voice.
Hinder? Oh, nice. Maybe yeah. Lips of
My
an Angel.
Lady Lips of an Angel.
Yeah. Ooh, yeah. Lips of an Angel is like a alumni of
I heard that radius. In the supermarket the other day, and I like, got misty. Like, I missed you guys so much. I was like,
so Nickelback. Sweet.
Come yeah. from the lips of an
So good.
Sorry.
That band was like the last gasp of that Nickelback sound.
Yeah,
that Whoa. Was.
Well, they really a lot of Nickelback.
That was
too.
A beautiful
Nickelback has creeped in every once in a while. I'm not gonna lie to.
Oh God!
Yeah. One of my favorites for that genre. It's like for like a workout song for me. You guys know Breaking Benjamin's "So Cold"?
Oh yes, dude. I used to love Breaking Benjamin.
Yeah, I used to.
Wait,
mess
how
with
does it sing it a little bit?
You're so cold. Keep your hands in mine.
Yeah.
That's not even the chorus.
You're so cold. Yeah, that
that's like the previous. Oh. Show me how it ends.
I remember
right. for sure.
There was a Chevelle Breaking Benjamin concert.
Oh, hell yeah.
I wanted to go to so lucky. Bad. My parents would not let so me go, lucky. But that's like that's all oh, I no. wanted. It's the only thing I wanted when I was like 12 years old.
Wait, what were all of your first concerts?
Oh, Weezer and Foo Fighters, actually.
Mine, too. We were at the same concert.
We were at the same one! Crazy. I always forget about that.
That's insane.
The exact same one.
First concert.
What about you, Danny?
Well, like, a real, like, a band or, like, a concert? Because I, you know, I saw, like, kids' music when I was younger.
So
like, a band.
Yeah,
I think probably, maybe Real Big Fish with Spencer, I think.
Oh, and your dad.
And my dad. And then, you know, Red Hot Chili Peppers at some point. But I don't know what the first one was. Probably Real Big Fish.
What was yours?
Michelle Branch and the Dixie Chicks.
Oh,
Madison
that rules.
Square Garden.
Amazing.
That's
awesome.
Oh, that That's rules so hard.
Sure. It was
oh
amazing.
Gosh.
It's great. Life-changing.
I want to go to that concert now.
Yeah, me too.
Yellow Card, if we're playing along. Yellow Card. The matches and the starting line was mine.
Whoa!
The starting line.
Line.
I played the starting line in the Blast Radius in
Dope.
The band.
Starting line is great. Great
that's
band.
Awesome.
Oh, yellow card.
Big time.
Cool. Well, that's all I have in mind. Is there anything you guys want to shout out?
We've got a cool show coming up that we just announced today, actually, pretty much.
Oh, yeah. September 28th, we're playing Music Hall of Williamsburg with Sad 13 and Bellows, and we're so
excited.
Excited.
Oh,
best
awesome. Bands in the world.
Yeah.
So good.
Yeah, and you guys are also headlining. Wait, is that the same?
Yeah.
Awesome. Cool.
It's going to be really fun.
Yeah, I saw Sad 13 and Sadie and Speedy a lot, and saw Bellows not too long ago. They're
oh, awesome.
No
yeah. yeah. We really love them.
Yeah. Cool. We, like, fell in love with them this tour.
Bellows, yeah.
So any other projects, Twitter handles, anything? I have, like, writers on a lot and ask them for, like, their Twitter and things they're writing, working
on. We got
on,
tweets.
Anything.
We got tweets for days. Charlie Bliss.
At Charlie Bliss. Bliss.
Yeah.
Oh, and a Snapchat, too, which I think is the same thing, at Charlie Bliss. There might be an underscore in between Charlie and Bliss.
Look hard. You'll find
you'll
it.
Yeah, you'll find it.
I'm trying to think. Yeah, no, I guess just be on the lookout. We're writing new songs, new record, hopefully soon.
Everyone go follow this band, follow all the socials. They're awesome.
Thank you.
Thank you
guys for coming by.
Thanks for having
us. Thank you so much.
Appreciate it.
So Charlie Bliss are awesome. If you need a way, a nice entrance point to get into those guys. They only have one album so far, so it's so simple. 10-song album. It's called Guppy. It's out now. Buy it, stream it, whatever. If you need to start with one song, I would go with that one I played earlier in the show. Western Marks is what it's called. But don't just listen to it. You should check out the music video to it, which I actually premiered on Billboard.com last week. So search for, you know, in Google, Billboard Charlie Bliss music video. Get video right there, along with a little interview with the band about the video. It's really fun. They're all improvising and goofing around at this summer camp where Eva, the singer, used to go in her childhood. It's really cute. It's really funny. In one part of the interview, which I actually had to cut for time that we just did, but didn't have time for, she was saying how she really thinks that the way they are in this music video, just the way they're hanging out and improving, really captures the way that they exist and interact as a band in real life. So I think it's a good entrance point to the band. It's a great video. They're a fun little crew, kind of like an improv group that also happens to be a band. So yeah, I'm all about those guys. Anyway, back to this podcast. I'm going to wrap things up. This podcast, in case you're a new listener and don't know about it yet, it posts every Thursday. So to make sure you get it automatically, you should subscribe. Search for hashtag alternative facts, all one word, on iTunes or in the podcast app of your phone. And you know what I'm going to say next. give me that 5-star rating. 5-star ratings only. And if you do, maybe I'll shout you out in next week's episode. So we're back next Thursday with an interview with Portugal the Man. Until then, peace out.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.